You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I am your guide to what to watch in unscripted television. And this week, I've got some great options for you. This is for January 10th through 17th. I'm telling you, you've got a lot of homework. First thing I have to tell you is that I watched two episodes thus far of a four-part docuseries on Peacock. This one is about a story that was also featured in the Bad Sports docuseries on Netflix. And I am telling you, you will go down the rabbit hole. I don't know if you were like me, watched ice skating as a kid. What's interesting about ice skating is like, if you're an American, most people don't pay attention to ice skating unless it's the Winter Olympics. At that point, you become like a total dork about it. But other countries like Canada and Russia, it is a major, major sport. So I remember watching the 2002 Winter Olympics for two reasons. Well, the number one, I used to have this boss. His name was Richard. He was such a dick. Anyway, he would always brag to us about the trips he took and the things that he could buy to a bunch of associate directors of a PR firm. My first job, I made $26,000. And this guy is telling me all about how he had gone to the Salt Lake City Olympics and he had a special driver and he got this great house to rent. I'm like, you're a jerk. Okay, but anyway, so two things. That, watching those Olympics, but also the ice skating pairs, because you watched it and you were screaming at the TV. You could not believe how unfair it was. So that scandal is the subject of this four-part docuseries and that Bad Sports episode. Again, it's called Medellin. It's on Peacock TV. I told people this was their homework this weekend. A lot of people followed through and watched it. I know they've gone down the rabbit hole. So this scandal rocked the Salt Lake City Games and caused figure skating scoring and the judging system to be completely overhauled. So this one is executive produced by Tara Lipinski and her husband. Her husband is a sports documentarian. He's made 30 for 30s. I'm obsessed with them right now. Okay, so this one includes an interview with the infamous French judge, Marie-Reine Lagone, and it is about these pair skaters from Canada, and they're competing against this Russian pair. And you have to watch the series to hear the backstory on both of the teams. So the Russian one, this girl was the victim of abuse by a former partner, and then she falls in love with her new partner. By the way, the first partner, they're doing those spins close to each other, and his skate got embedded in her head. I'm not even kidding you. When they tell that story, and I had heard it before, but I completely forgot about it on purpose because it's so horrible. They're like, well, there was this tragedy with her former partner and they were skating. I was like, oh God, bracing for impact. And he got too close to her and the pick of her his skate hit her head. And she had to have the surgery. They didn't know she was going to be paralyzed. Well, she comes back from skating, falls in love with this other guy. He becomes her partner. And they're champions. And we all know that in ice skating and in sports in Russia, like, it's a different thing. They even say it in this series. Scott Hamilton, the famed ice skater, talks about a Russian skater who had explained to him, Americans are not hungry enough. Russians are hungry because basically if you're a kid and you're an athlete and you show promise, you're paid to be an athlete. And it depends on like how much success you've had, depends on if your family eats or not. Meanwhile, Americans, it's like, you know, if you're talented, you're going to have your mom drive you to the skating rink every morning. But like that rarely happens. So you've got that. And then you have the Canadians who were interesting because this girl was like a great skater. She finds David, who was an ice hockey player and skater. And his mom was like, you know, you should be a figure skater. And he's like, this is so embarrassing. But then he found her. And then he like had this newfound appreciation for the sport because she was like a real athlete. And they end up falling in love later and getting married. They had a son. They divorced. They're still great friends. He ended up marrying Katerina Gordieva, who is a famed Russian skater who was partner with her husband, Sergey, also Russian, and he died of a heart attack. And they were like this really important couple, in figure skating, and he died young. And they had a daughter together. Anyway, she's very beloved in the skating world. So Jamie and David are no longer together. They married different people, but they ended up falling in love. So the biggest thing is they go into the Olympics. They've got this great routine they've had for a while to the love song to the movie Love Story with Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal. Like famed movie. Watched it so many times as a kid, which is weird, by the way. But I watched it and they had really nailed down this routine. They go to the Olympics. They nail it. They're perfect. But the other team, they keep falling and making all these errors. So it was strange when they go to the judging portion to get the scores. And there's a score for your technical and your artistic. And everyone was confused why they were getting scores to be in first place. And the one judge that put them over the edge was the French judge. And I'm not going to spoil it, but that's what you need to do is go watch the series because you're going to see what happened after that. And the first two episodes aired this past week. So like Thursday, most people watched it this weekend. You guys are going to scream at the TV. It's insane. And it's really interesting in the weeks that are gearing up for the Winter Olympics. So Peacock TV is going to have some unbelievable documentaries. And this is the first of it. There's also going to be one about Peekaboo Street. And I can't wait for that to come out at the end of the week. But that's the first thing I need you to watch is Medellin. And it's on Peacock TV. And you can also watch that episode on Bad Sport on Netflix. The second thing I need you to watch is Cheer Season 2. It begins Wednesday on Netflix. So if you're not familiar with it, in the small town of Corsicana, Texas, there is this hard-driving head cheer coach named Monica. She demands perfection from her team of competitive college athletes. These athletes are in community college, and they've invested so much time and energy into being cheerleading stars of a community college, which I was confused by. I'm like, if you're going to be a cheerleader, don't you want to go to like University of Kentucky? Why would there be a community college program? But evidently there is. It's like a huge sport in Texas is cheerleading. And this team goes and performs on television at the national cheerleading championships and wins. Monica, because of the success of the first season of the show, became a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Not this season, but the season before it. And that just kind of highlights how successful the show was and how people all over were watching it. So there was this one standout character, his name's Jerry, and he's a young man. He would get overly excited. Ellen DeGeneres had him on her show. She said, I'm going to make you a red carpet reporter. He's at the Grammys. Billie Eilish comes up, freaks out because she sees Jerry from Cheer on Netflix. Well, I just can't explain to you how successful they all became because of this show. So what's a little bit hard is that in this next season, the first episode really focuses a lot on their newfound fame. And there is a little bit of disconnect from who they were when this all started, more authentic, hardworking kids. And now it's like they're totally preoccupied by what they're going to post and the opportunities that are coming in. But more importantly, Jerry, the guy I just mentioned, he has some very disturbing legal charges that were made against him regarding the solicitation of minors. So it's a little bit hard when you see him in scenes because he's almost braggadocious about the opportunities that he's got from the show. And it's it's before the charges were made. So you're seeing someone whose life is totally going to change, and you feel bad that you're watching it because or at least I felt like annoyed that he is getting all this press and attention knowing what he was doing behind the scenes. So you need to watch it. It's called Cheer. I'm fascinated because I am not from a cheerleading background. I played college sports. I played lacrosse and field hockey. I know nothing about cheerleading. I find it really interesting. But I think that you're going to like it. So it's on Wednesday. You can binge all the episodes, which is great. Medellin is a little bit annoying because you're going to watch two episodes and then you have to wait until Thursday for the other two. But Cheer, you can just binge all at one time. The next one is called Paper and Glue. And this one is on Peacock. It's streaming now. It's from the Oscar-nominated director of Faces, Places. It comes with a thought-provoking portrayal of social realities through massive visionary art installations. So huge photos that are painted or glued on a building, kind of like you see an advertisement for a show on a billboard. It's like that. And it's this acclaimed French artist who goes around the world and he builds some of the most monumental projects. It's really beautiful, but I think that the social commentary part of it is really interesting, and I think that you'll really enjoy it. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmerman dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. The next one is called Hype House. It's on Netflix. I gotta tell you, this is a cautionary tale of what it's like to become a TikTok star. My oldest daughter and her friends are fascinated by it, which might be a good thing actually, because you really see how isolating it can be to become a social media star at such a young age. So they have this one girl, she's 20, her name's Mia, and she says, "A million people know who you are, it's just weird." I want you to think about who you were when you were 20 years old. Let me tell you who I was. I was a political science student who worked at a restaurant slinging tacos and margaritas, trying to drive over to campus because I lived off campus to get to my classes on time, to get all my work done. Like, I didn't have a minute to myself, deeply insecure, didn't have a boyfriend. And to think that these kids are like living out loud all the time and with strangers criticizing them, and strangers in the millions. I mean, there's just no way I could even wrap my brain around that. At that time, when you're 20, you're just kind of figuring out who you are in the world. developing your own ideologies and to have that impacted by how many likes you're going to get on a picture or what a stranger said. I just can't even imagine. So I do think it's fascinating to watch it because it is a cautionary tale. It's just wild how much thought goes into every post. And there's so much thought into going into the post while not having the same thoughtfulness about who they are in the world and how they fit in. It's like this weird juxtaposition. Another person in the house, his name's Larry. He's got 23 million followers. He says, I don't even know how this is my life. I don't even know how this many people follow me or even just care about me. 23 million people. So there are people who have businesses that are just trying so hard to get anybody to pay attention to their social media profiles, who have like substantial businesses and or nonprofits, et cetera. And it's so hard for them. But this like kid who's like 17 years old has 23 million followers, and the power that has and the income that he's generating and the brands that are coming to him, being so impressionable as a young person and then having the impression on other young people, it's wild. I think it's a fascinating social experiment to watch. And they're in this West Hollywood house, which is, by the way, like the worst place for a young person to be. But I want you to watch just to kind of get your take. I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Joe Millionaire on Fox is such a great watch. It's ridiculous. It's a great social experiment. You've got two men. One is pretending he's a millionaire. The other one is a real millionaire. All of these women are dating them and trying to figure out who's the one who has money and who doesn't. I wouldn't say they're like the most interesting dating contestants in the world. But what I do like is that the two men are not assholes. Like, they're dating the women, but they seem kind. They're in on it and they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They don't seem douchey. And the other thing is they like each other. They're like, they'll do interviews together and like, well, I was kind of freaking out about that. They're not mean to one another, which is kind of great. So the creator of this reboot is the same person who made Jersey Shore. Her name's Sally, and she's a genius. I want you to give it a try. It's called Joe Millionaire. Amazing Race has the best team stories. It is a beautifully produced show. It deserves every Emmy award. I love the premiere episode. All my kids watched it too. And I know that you will love it too if you give it a try. As you know, I interviewed Ryan Ferguson last week. He went to prison for 10 years. He partnered with his best friend, Dusty. But there are other contestants that I find equally interesting. From Martinsville, New Jersey, there's a married couple, Akbar and Sheridan. She goes by Sherry. They're both educators. They've been married for 17 years. They met while they were both Division I basketball players in college. He, as the principal of Newark West High School, he started the Lights On program, keeping the school open from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. to decrease crime in the community. Oprah Winfrey gave him a $500,000 donation. They've been in a ton of press. Really good people. Penn Holderness and Kim Holderness are internet personalities from Raleigh, North Carolina. They used to be news anchors, but grew tired of the exhausting schedule and decided to become full-time video creators because they did this one video where they were dancing in Christmas outfits and they realized the power. They were like in it on the YouTube from the beginning, and they're super funny and worth watching. And then finally, another couple, or team, I should say, that I really like watching are Anthony Sadler and Spencer Stone. They're both 29 from Sacramento, California. They've been friends from childhood. You will remember them because in 2015, they were on a train traveling from Amsterdam to Paris when a terrorist with ties to ISIS came on board. The terrorist attempted to open fire on the train with a rifle. Spencer ran at the gunman and managed to restrain him with the assistance of two other passengers, which were his childhood best friends. They're all in the military. They were on vacation, and I'm interviewing Spencer this week. What a story. They made a movie about him, directed by Clint Eastwood, where they played themselves. I just think this Amazing Race this season is just the most compelling stories, and to know that they took a break and came back after COVID. But it's really interesting to see the military guys and Ryan and his friend because they're so good at this game. The way that they finesse situations, traveling, clues, etc., and that they help each other is an added bonus. 48 Hours Mystery was really good this week. Former politician Steve Pankey was arrested for murdering 12-year-old Janelle Matthews, who vanished in 1984 after he named himself a person of interest. This guy is the biggest weirdo you can imagine. I remembered pictures of Jonelle because I was fixated on missing children's stories as a kid. And then also, here's a fun fact, when I was in college at the DCCC, when I was an intern there, I was in charge of highlighting stories of congressional members, of missing children in their congressional district and having them talk about it in the news. So Jonelle, on the evening of December 20th of 1984, she was performing at a holiday concert in Denver as a part of Greeley's Franklin Middle School Choir. Very small town, very cool, like really a great town to raise your family in, Greeley. So her father was at his other daughter's basketball game, and her mother had traveled out of state to be with her grandfather. And at 8:15, she arrived home, and after getting a ride from her friend Deanne and her father. So shortly after 8:30 p.m., she answers a phone call and took a message for her father. The phone call was the last time anyone was known to have spoken with Janelle. Her father arrived home at 9:30 and found the garage door open, but no one was in the house. Her shoes and shawl were near a heater in the family room, a place she often sat. Her older sister, Jennifer, got home at about 10, but had not seen her. So her dad began to worry and called police. The police arrived at 10:15 and found footprints in the snow indicating that someone had been looking in the windows. There were no signs of a struggle or a forced entry. And with snow on the ground, her father thought it was unlikely that she would go far without shoes on. So for several weeks after the disappearance, law enforcement placed her birth mother under surveillance without telling her that Janelle was missing. And in 1994, she was declared legally dead. In 1997, Gloria received a letter from Vieira requesting permission to visit Janelle. Vieira had used a search consultant to help locate Janelle. So they get no answers for a long time. And years after her disappearance, her parents moved to the Philippines. They're retired now and living in Costa Rica, and her sister moved out of Colorado. But a few years ago, in July of 2019, excavators installing a pipeline discovered human remains. And so they did a test on it, and because of DNA evidence, they could positively identify the remains of being those of Janelle. And the forensic report listed her cause of death as a gunshot wound to the head. So this man, Steve Pankey, comes forward. And it just complicates the whole story. And I just need you to watch the episode to see what you think, because he seems super crazy. And it's very possible that he did it. And then the last one is Finding Andrea on Discovery Plus. It's about a single mom's puzzling disappearance, unearthing new information regarding her past few months, leading loved ones to rethink everything that they knew. Though she often helped those in need, one suspects if it was she who needed saving all along. So if you like true crime, I want you to check that out. So those things are, again, Meddling on Peacock TV, Cheer on Netflix, Hype House on Netflix, Amazing Race on CBS, Jill Millionaire on Fox, Paper and Glue on Netflix, 48 Hours Mystery on CBS, and Finding Andrea on Discovery Plus. You can get this list if you go to katecasey.substack.com and sign up to get this in your email box every Monday. You can join the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. My Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. See what I'm watching all week and who I'll be interviewing. You can find me on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. You can find me on Cameo at Kate Casey. And finally, you can get bonus episodes by going to Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey. And episodes come out Wednesday and Friday of every week with interviews and reviews. And of course, this episode comes out every Tuesday, giving you a guide to what to watch each week. So episodes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm hoping that you have a great week, and I look forward to circling back with you on Wednesday.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuge,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.